Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Yvonne Pierre Show. Hear from people who have overcome obstacles, have inspirational stories to tell, or helpful information to share.
Our child, and we were to take her home. Remarkable advice for that era when many children with Down syndrome were put in institutions.
I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
The Yvonne Pierre Show,
living off with people,
a variety talk show
giving all
mission
the power to the
power you.
That were only gonna bring this to my. And I turned around and I remember this 48 years later of when I turned around and I said to her, no, I can do it. That kind of sent the tone to her right from the beginning that even though I was in a chair, you know, I was still independent. I was still going to do things.
I believe that everything happens for a reason. We are vessels that have the option to allow God to use us.
Make a choice to break the generational curses on our life.
Thank you for tuning in. Now, here is your host, Yvonne Pierre.
Welcome, welcome, and thank you so much for tuning in to the show today. I have a really special guest today. If you're going through a transitional season, that season where you feel like you're losing control of your life, that season that you feel like there's no way out, then this, you have turned into the right show. I feel that this topic was important because it's during the season that a lot of people turn to addictions and bitterness and even suicide. But just know that it's not over, and the seasons do change. So I hope that you're inspired and moved to reclaim your life by today's special guest. Rana Walker is a licensed and experienced mental health therapist, wellness, and life coach. She received her bachelor's degree in psychology from Howard University and her master's degree in counseling psychology from Temple University. But her education didn't stop there. Rana received training in and certifications in alternative medicine, kickboxing, and Muay Thai, just to name a few. With 17 years of experience creating wellness for others, she has lectured and facilitated workshops domestically and abroad. She has been featured in a number of national publications for her fitness, wellness coaching, and business insight. Rana has credits in television health segments locally, nationally, and internationally. She also served as a health coach on Discovery Health Channel's 6 program series entitled Health Cops Sentenced to Health, which premiered in 2002. She also starred as one of 2 life coaches on season 1 of NBC's groundbreaking program Starting Over, which aired daily and received an Emmy for her role as life coach. Rana Walker has co-produced television programming since 2001 and recently renewed her love for writing as demonstrated in her column, Self-Love, Mind, Body, Spirit. She is dedicated to total personal development, mind, body, and spirit, and has transitioned and has translated her zest for life into her passion, helping others to see that they are who they are in truth. And let me bring her in.
Hi, how are you?
Rana, welcome.
Thanks, Yvonne. Thanks for having me. It's really a pleasure. I appreciate it. How are you?
I am good. And yourself?
Good, good. I'm having a good day.
Good. Hopefully we won't have any issues. We've having. I'm here in Atlanta, and we had a thunderstorm. Hopefully, it just passed by me. there was a lot of outages in the Marietta area, but we haven't had any problems so far. So we probably should be good.
Oh, good. That's good.
But welcome to the show, and thank you so much for taking time out to join us.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. It was just synchronistic just to meet you the way that I did and to be connected to you now, so I'm excited to be here.
Thank you. I am too. Reclaim your life. I'm really excited to discuss this topic with you today. Here's why. As children, when we were younger, of course, we had this perception of what life is going to be, and then we grew up. And as adults, we realized that life is just not that simple. And we have different experiences, good and bad, that are meant to teach us something, but sometime during that period, we tend to kind of lose ourselves. But you wrote this article called Whose Life Is It Anyway? Am I the Pen or the Paper? What inspired you to write this article?
Well, I just felt like there were things going on in my life at the time where I just felt like it was kind of spinning out of control and that I was doing all of the things that other people wanted me to do, thinking that it was things that I wanted to do. And some of it was, but a lot of it was just me doing what was so-called the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I decided I needed to reclaim my life and decide, you know, was I allowing my story to be told for me, or was I going to be the author of my story? And so that's mm-hmm. why I wrote this article.
Wow. And I think a lot of times we're taught, you touched on something just then, I think a lot of times we're taught to be people pleasers growing up, and I don't think it's intentional, but
right.
It wind up going, you know, we wind up growing up and realizing in our adult lives that our lives are centered around what other people think of us, and we end up losing ourselves in the process. And for many of us, we struggle with saying no. I will say I went through that season. So how do we reclaim our lives without coming across mean, selfish, or feeling the guilt of saying no?
Well, I think it's important that once you set boundaries and you let other people know that this is my life and I need to take care of me, so once I'm able to take care of myself, then I can be of service to you. But so many times we deplete ourselves to the point where we're not of service to anyone. And I think, especially as women,
mm-hmm.
we're really, you know, encouraged to be of service to other people and to put other people first. But I think healing, you know, and taking care of ourselves, nurturing ourselves, is very important that we do that first, and then we can do that for others. But we have to learn how to set boundaries.
Yeah, and I was, you know, I would say as well as me being a parent, having two kids, we center our lives, you know, around our family, which is not a bad thing, but we lose focus of ourselves, and I think there's a lot of parents that have guilt as well, feeling as though if I put myself first, and it don't mean, you know, if you feel like going to the club, go, but just but you
right.
know, just taking time out for yourself and making sure that your well-being, you know, because sometimes, you know, I'll admit that, you know, we go, and we, you know, wind up losing, not just losing ourselves, but we don't take time out for ourselves and give ourselves time to rebuild and regroup. And instead of feeling like, you know, taking my me time, we have to, you know, I've learned to realize that if I'm not okay, that trickles into my parenthood. That trickles into, you know, what I'm giving. I'm exhausting myself. So how, you know, you how do we, what I want to say here, how do we as parents reclaim our lives without being selfish? Do we still set boundaries for our kids? How do we make that transition as far as parenthood goes?
Well, I'm not a parent, but just in terms of the many families that I've counseled over the 17 years that I've been a mental health therapist and, you know, wellness coach, I found that when parents set boundaries, that kids respect that more, and they understand that there's a time for your parent to be who they are as a person, too, because a lot of times what I've observed is that when a parent becomes a parent, the child no longer recognizes the parent as a human being or an individual who has needs and desires and goals and ambitions and thoughts of their own.
Yeah.
They just see the parent as an extension of their needs. And I think for parents to know that it's okay, and actually it's more than okay, because when the kids see the parents caring for themselves, that shows them, oh, so I need to care for myself too, and that mommy and daddy have their own lives and they're important and they have things that they want to do. They're not just here to serve me nonstop.
Yeah. So what advice would you give someone who is feel like, you know, they have no purpose? I've heard a lot of people over the years, and you know how you ask somebody, well, you know, what are your goals or what is it that you're trying to do? And surprisingly for me, a lot of people have no idea what their purpose or what their goals or what they want to do with the rest of their lives. What advice would you give them as far as finding their feet, so to speak, and feeling like they, how do they go about finding themselves?
Well, I think, I guess for myself, and thinking about transitional periods, just really paying attention to the things that bring you joy. Paying attention to the things that, of course, you would do for free or that you're already doing for free.
Mm-hmm.
The things that you do that are effortless, that don't appear to be work. I think that's one way to kind of tap into that, to pay attention. And to, you know, just start journaling and paying attention to, you know, if you see a similar pattern or something that keeps coming up for you. Another thing is to actually look at the different things that you've done in your life, whether it's work-related or not, and see what things keep coming up in terms of personal strengths and personal interests, because you will see that there is some common thread, whether it ends up being, oh, I love people, oh, I love to work in the arts, oh, I love to organize. You know, there are different things that will come up, and you'll be able to see it, but you have to, like, take the time to stop and pay attention. And I think another way to do it, which maybe, I don't know, maybe even easier, is to ask the people around you, the people that are close to you, like, what do you see as my strengths, or what do you see as my passion, or what's something that you see me doing, that when I'm doing it or when I'm talking about it, I get excited, my eyes light up, my face is, you know, full of energy. So I think that's another helpful way to think about it.
Yeah, that's I like that. And as to, wouldn't you say that it depends on who you're asking as well?
Oh, yes.
Somebody that you know has your best interest at heart,
and
that's going to be honest with you.
Yes.
And you mentioned transitioning, and I mentioned it in the introduction, and I want to touch on that for a moment. You also mentioned it in your article that during a transitional period is when it, you know, appears to, you know, everything appears to be falling apart, and as storytellers, we describe it as a climax, the period in the story when something has to change, something has to shift. And I also like to call it seasons. Would you share with us an example of a transitional season and what should we be doing during that transition?
Well, I have to be really, I guess, open right here and transparent, because I feel like I'm going through a transitional season in my life right now. And there are, like, so many different things that are happening all at one time. There's, you know, a shift in career. There's a relationship ending. There's, you know, other things in terms of transitioning, wanting to move from one place to another. So there are all of these changes taking place, and some are exciting and some are very frightening. And in that time, what I'm learning more than anything is to have faith. Mm-hmm. And whether that's through prayer or meditation or affirmations, to have faith, to have someone to talk to, whether it be a therapist or someone else maybe that you consider a mentor or a confidant, so that you can really just talk out all of the things that you're going through. And I think also to just be patient. So, you know, going along with the faith, working on really developing faith so that, you know, it's easy to have faith when things are going well.
Right.
But to really stand firm in your faith when things are falling apart, because it's so interesting. I want to give an example. I got this lava egg when I was in Hawaii in 97. Mm. And I really like this egg, so I've had it for 16 years. So a week ago, the maintenance guy was moving something in my apartment, and he dropped the egg, and it shattered. So I was pretty upset because it had sentimental value, and it's a really, like, rare egg in terms of, you know, I don't live next door to Hawaii, so I can't just run and get another one.
Right,
so,
right.
And it was a very spiritual time for me when I went to Hawaii. So I was just like, wow, you know, what is this? You know, how can I look at this differently? And what I liked about the way that I thought about it was that first, you know, he apologized. And I said, you know, it's okay. I said, well, what are we going to do? Come to find out, when I told him, you know, I got this in Hawaii, he says, oh, I have friends who live in Hawaii. The other maintenance guy says, I have family in Hawaii. And here we are in Philadelphia. So you never know who you're connected to, first of all.
Yeah.
So that was a part of it. But the other thing in terms of how I looked at what happened was I thought of the egg as rebirth. And, you know, when an egg hatches, the shell is cracked, and then new life bursts forth.
Mm.
And
yeah.
It gave me hope. It gave me hope. I said, wow, you know, this egg has been sitting here for 16 years, and now it's broken, but it will be replaced, you know. He's going to, you know, get me another egg, or he's looking high and low, so we'll see what happens. But he's doing his best. And really, for me, even if I don't get another lava egg, the fact that he understood the importance of it for me, that he took it seriously and he's actually working on it, that spoke volumes to me in terms of value. And then it helped me to understand that the bigger lesson or message here is that I am being reborn. And so that was part of it symbolically.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think a lot of people, when they go through different transitions, and I'll say for myself, I've been through several, but I think, you know, it's during that time, it's the hardest part of life when you're going through that season. But it, like you said earlier, that it's during that time when you find faith and peace. It's during that time when you have to find some type of peace find a peace in the midst of the storm and realizing that, you know, a lot of times when we're going through it, we're so focused on the season, we're so focused on what we're going through that we're not focusing on coming out of it looking for, like the symbolic meaning that you had for the lava egg, the symbolic connection that you made for that. We don't look for that. We just focus on, you know, woe is me, why is this happening to me, and we don't see, okay, what am I to learn from this and how do I come out of it? So speaking on that, I want to ask, what are some things that we can do daily to set the tone for the day?
Well, of course, there's always, you know, some people pray at night, some people pray in the morning, so some people chant. So it depends on whatever your spiritual practice is, that you can begin your morning doing that. You can begin it with meditation. You can begin it with affirmations. You can listen to meditative music, you know, as you get ready in the morning. You can journal in the morning after you meditate, or just journal without meditating. So I think you can do those things. And then I think one of the most important things, and something that I have to, you know, remind myself of constantly, is to set my intention for the day and to decide what kind of day do I want to have? What kind of feeling do I want to have throughout my day? What would I like to see unfold? Yes. I think that's really key because, you know, a lot of times we hop out of bed and we shower, we get dressed, and we go about our business, and we just allow the day to be what it is, which is, you know, it's going to be what it is anyway, but I think it's good to set an intention, and that way, once the intention is out there, you will attract that experience into your day.
Yeah, I believe that. And I want to ask, too, you know, you have you know, we're coming close to the end of the show, but there's a lot of people that heard, you know, heard the show, that are listening to the show now and are probably saying, oh, that's well and good, but my life is unfixable. Woe is me. you know, you don't understand. You haven't been through what I've been through. But what advice would you give to someone who feels that they're at a stage in their life where everything is just unfixable?
Well, I'm just laughing, not at anyone, but just, you know, going through, you know, the same kind of situation, just feeling like, what is it all about? And
yeah.
I think we all go through these dark periods where we feel like, okay, really? Like, what is this about? What's the message here? Why am I here? And I think it's important to remember that you're here because you are a divine emanation of God, that God created you and you are here for a purpose. You may not know what it is, but to be in that moment, to reach out for help, which I think is extremely important because I find that a lot of people, when they're going through these things, you know, you keep the tapes running in your head, you keep talking to the same people who are reinforcing your tragic situation.
Yeah.
And I think that's when you want to reach out, whether it's a hotline to talk to someone anonymously, go seek therapy. And, of course, I know as African-Americans, just specifically I'll say that about us,
yeah.
You know, we tend to not go to therapy. And as a therapist for 17 years, I highly, highly recommend it. And I just want to say, too, Yvonne, I commend more of our men because I actually wrote an article about African, you know, male depression, meaning Africans here in the United States and the Caribbean and in Africa, how our men, you know, see it as a weakness, but that more men are beginning to actually go to counseling and to know that it doesn't mean you're crazy. And studies have shown that people who seek counseling are actually the stronger ones. They're not, people say, oh, you must be weak if you go to counseling, but studies have shown that the people who are more courageous and are more strong, you know, I guess, minded in their thoughts, that they're the ones who will reach out for help. So I think counseling, therapy, and sometimes you just need an outlet, too.
Yeah.
Whether it's painting, it's writing, it's throwing pottery, it's whatever, dancing, singing. And not like you have to be a professional, but these are just creative outlets to help you to find your center again. Because especially, I mean, we're moving into the age of Aquarius where it's a more spiritual age and we're moving out of this whole technological age in terms of tapping back into your feelings, getting in touch with who you are and just figuring out who you are. Because I think a lot of the unhappiness and dissatisfaction that people are experiencing is because we're not really taught to focus inward. Everything is externalized, especially here in America. And I think that's important, just to try to figure out who you are and what makes you happy, what makes you resonate.
Yeah, and I love well, everything that you said. But I really think I agree with, you know, that strength. It takes strength to reach out for help.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who implode and who will sit there and just wallow in it. And don't want to reach out for help because they don't want other people to know, or they're concerned about what people would think. But at the end of the day, it's not what people think of you. At the end of the day, what's important is what God think of you. And, you know, we have to get away from drowning in our sorrows and drowning in our circumstances and problems and keeping it to ourselves because we're afraid of what people are going to think. I'm not saying go out and broadcast it to the world, but, you know, but reaching out for help and not being afraid of, you know, how people look at you. And one of the things somebody told me when I start, you know, sharing my story, like through my books, and my book rather, I don't have books, but through my but through my book, you know, a lot of people, I'm very transparent, you know, about the things that I've overcome, and those that don't know, being molested and raped, and all the different, being homeless for a little while, and, you know, all the different things that I went through, different transitional seasons that I went through. And people say, well, how could you, why do you tell people? And I said, because, you know, if I can help somebody else through my story, it wasn't in vain. And it's not, I didn't come out of it just to keep it to myself. And I'm not saying everybody have to go out and be an advocate and, you know, and you know, broadcast it, like I said, to the world, but getting to the point of not being afraid to be a better you.
Yes, definitely.
Before we go, I want to, I want to ask you, where can people go to connect with you? Are you on Facebook, Twitter?
Yes, yes. On Facebook, you can just go to Rana, R-A-N-A Walker. Look at Rana Walker. And on Twitter, it's at the Rana Walker. So at T-H-E-R-A-N-A Walker, at the Rana Walker.
Well, I want to thank you. At first, do you have any closing remarks before we go?
Yeah, I do. I do. And I just want to say that, you know, I was just talking to my mom actually before I got on the show, came on the show, and one of the things we were talking about was just the importance of being in the moment. And you know, you plan for the future, you think about the past, but all we have is the present. So to really each day just be in that experience and try to actually enjoy it, be present so that you don't miss your life thinking about the future and looking to the past. So I just want to leave everyone with that, just to really be present. Take the rest of the night just to be present in every experience, whether you're eating dinner, you're talking on the phone, you're reading a book, whatever it is that you're doing, just really try to be in that moment and try to keep your mind from drifting into the past or into the future.
Yeah, and I'm working on that. I'm working on it.
And just so everyone knows, it's an ever-evolving process. It never stops.
Yeah, because you're thinking about, oh, I need to put this load in, I got to do this, I got to do that. But, yeah, I'm learning that, too, to and being more conscious of what I'm saying to myself as well. Because sometimes we can block our own blessings by the things that, the affirmations that we don't even realize we're saying to ourselves. We're counseling out our blessings.
Yes. Yes, I just have to say, Yvonne, I'm so glad you said that, because that's true, that we get what we ask for, whether it's what we want or not. So whatever we're putting out there, that's what we're getting back. So we may really be focused on something that we want, and we get that. We may focus on something we don't want, and we get that too. So I just want to put that out there, that it's important to really think about what it is you're thinking, think about your words, and put it out into the atmosphere so that you can receive exactly what it is that you desire. I'm glad you said that. Thank you, Yvonne.
And thank you. Before we go, if you can, again, I wanted to reinstate, if you want to reach out to Rana Walker, you can visit her on Facebook. Look up R-A-N-A Walker on Facebook, and also The Rana, R-A-N-A Walker, on Twitter. Thank you so much, Rana. It was really, really an honor to have you on the show, and I wish you continued blessings. And again, just thank you for joining us and sharing this information.
My pleasure, Yvonne. Thank you so much for having me. And I still all the excellent work that you've done, I still want to write a story on you, so I just want to make sure that we make that happen, because you are doing some phenomenal work, and I am really, really inspired by what you're doing. So thank you, and let's be in touch.
We will, and thank you so much for those kind words. Thank
You're
you.
You're welcome. Okay,
thank you.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I was meant to fly. Oh, no matter who pushes me, I know I'm not gonna let you. I'm not gonna let you get me down. No, no, no.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. It has been an absolute pleasure, and I thank you for choosing this time to spend with me, your host, Yvonne Pierre. For more information about the show, how to be a guest, or to simply let me know what you think about today's show or previous shows, visit me at ypierre.com. That's www.ypierre.com. Remember to keep God first, know that you are blessed, and always stay true to yourself. I love you, God loves you, and thank you for listening.
Now I know.